Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Redskin Post Game Report. I'm your host, Real Quinn, taking you for the next 45 minutes as I discuss the Washington Redskins Carolina Panthers game. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. Redskins fall 33-20. They go to 3-3 on the season, and probably I would say from start to finish, this was the Redskins' worst performance of the season. I definitely think it's fair to say that. Offensively they were awful in the first half. Defensively they were awful in the second half. Injuries are starting to mount up for the Redskins. You saw Hightower go out with a knee injury. Now, it's not said of how serious it is. There's no structural damage, no torn ACL, no torn MCL. Dr. James Andrews, of course, was in North Carolina. You know, apparently took a look at it. I'm not sure he took a look at it, but he was in the area, in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. The x-ray showed was negative on it. That's the latest from that standpoint. You had Landon Fletcher going out. You had with a hamstring. You had Santana Moss going out with a broken bone in his left hand. You know, Otagwe didn't play in this particular game. So, again, you know, Redskins, you know, when it goes bad in the NFL, and there's no two ways about it. That's just the nature of the NFL beast. The Redskins are hurting right now, and you know, when the Redskins defense gives the performance that it gave today, there's no chance. The Redskins have no chance to win. Their defense was awful. Carolina did whatever they wanted to in the second half. Carolina scored on their last five out of their last six possessions. They came out, you know, in the second half with three touchdowns and a field goal. They did whatever they wanted to. Cam Newton played great. Did not turn over the ball. Redskins defense did not force a turnover. I know they had four sacks, but again, you thought that the Redskins would be able to force turnovers, considering Cam Newton being, you know, rookie quarterback. You know, you can generate some pressure on him. That was not the case, and really, you know, Carolina did whatever they wanted to offensively, in particular in the second half. I mean, second half they had a huge, huge day offensively. Welcome back. Go figure. That's the kind of day it was for the Washington Redskins. They were also disconnected for most of the day, as we had some technical issues there. But we're back on this latest edition of the Redskin Post Game Live, the Redskin Post Game Report. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you until 5:45, 33-20. Redskins fall to the Carolina Panthers. Carolina came into this game 1-5 on the season. Though, despite that, they had played much better football than what their 1-5 record would indicate. Lost some tough, played some very good teams, including the likes of the Packers and Saints. Lost a host of close games, so they were due for a big performance, and you certainly got that out of one Cam Newton, who had over 300 yards of total offense and accounted for two touchdowns. And listen, the Redskins, when you're the Redskins, there's very little room for error as far as injuries goes, as far as, you know, how great your defense has to play, as far as, you know, how well you have to control the clock, run the football. Redskins have little room for error. And when their defense doesn't play great, when they don't control the clock, when they, you know, and they didn't play sloppy football. They didn't have a lot of penalties. You know, decent on third down, 5-for-12. But, again, defensively, they just had too many breakdowns, and it cost them. And, again, I thought the Redskins would be able to force some turnovers on Cam Newton and do some good good things in terms of, yeah, Cam Newton came into this game, you know, tied with Rex Grossman for the league in terms of interceptions. So, certainly up there amongst the league leaders in terms of interceptions. So I thought they would be able to force him to a couple turnovers. Not the case. Again, Newton, 18 for 23, 256 and a touchdown. No interceptions, no fumbles. Played great. Took a couple hits, but for the most part, played great. And right now, the Redskins' season is at a definite crisis moment, so to speak. There's no two ways about it. I mean, the Redskins, you know, they're 3-3. At the end of the day, they will be at worst in second place. So they could be tied with Dallas for second place. Definitely they will be behind the New York Giants. But thinking big picture, thinking about the injuries that they have with Santana Moss, you know, London Fletcher leaves the game with a hamstring. Who knows about this Tim Hightower situation with his knee. Otagwe, you know, didn't play today. You know, they already banged up on the offensive line. They are not a deep football team. They're not a deep football team. And, you know, Mike Shanahan is going to have to find a way to, you know, generate some points through the passing game. And, I don't know how you're going to do that because their passing game, to me, they are extremely easy to defend, extremely. You know, you can say if you can lock in on Fred Davis and Jabari Gaffney, and you don't even have to lock in on Jabari Gaffney, then, I mean, how the Redskins are going to move the ball? So they're going to be hard pressed to score points going forward, and you know they're going to have to play again. Their defense is going to play lights out. That's the scary part. Their defense gives up almost 200 yards rushing, and this is the third straight week where their defense has gave up over 100 yards rushing. Last week they gave up big time. They gave up close almost 200 yards rushing. Is that their run defense is starting to leak, and they cannot afford for that to happen. 347-215-6180 is the call number. This is Cyril Quinn on this latest edition of the Redskin Postgame Report. When we return, we'll have the Redskin scoring drives. We'll be right back. Edition of the Redskin Postgame Report. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you into 5:45, 347-215-6180 is your call number. Here are the Redskin scoring drives. Redskins scored there on their third possession. Their first score came on their third possession on a excuse me, on a second on their second possession on a 31-yard field goal by Graham Gano. They had a drive go 12 plays, 74 yards. John Beck, you know, Tim Hightower, who began the day like a house on fire, had a couple good runs. They had a couple key plays on the drive. The drive was extended on a personal foul. And also, John Beck on third down missed a wide open Anthony Armstrong. So maybe, you know, missed him. He was wide open in the flat. So Redskins, again, had to settle for a field goal, and they end up tying the score at 3-3. At 3-3. The Redskins then, again, tied the score with a field goal, going 10 plays, 49 yards, 49-yard Graham Gano field goal. Redskins, you know, got the ball down deep into Carolina's territory, but went from 2nd-and-2 to 3rd-and-3, 3rd-and-13 on an intentional grounding by Beck. If you're Beck, you have to eat that ball and not throw it. I know the initial thing to do is to throw it, but if you're Beck, you absolutely have to eat that ball and live to the key play there. It would have been 2nd-and-10. It would have been 2nd-and-12, 2nd-and-13, as versus 3rd-and-13. The bad thing about an intentional grounding is not only do you lose the yards, but you also lose a down. So that really hurt the Redskins drive. Redskins flirted. I guess they flirted with the idea of going for it on 4th-and-7, but I'm not sure if that was just a ploy to try to draw Carolina offsides. They end up kicking a 49-yard field goal. Redskins would not score again until the third quarter. At this point, they were down 16-6 in the third quarter. A good drive, 7 plays, 82 yards. Beck with a 7-yard touchdown pass to Fred Davis. Again, this is when Beck really started getting the tight ends involved, both Davis and Logan Paulson. Davis, the drive ended with Davis with a 7-yard touchdown pass to Davis to cut the lead to 16-13. And at this point, you thought that the Redskins were in pretty good shape. Carolina, they had done nothing on the first possession of the second half. They turned over the ball. Then Cam Newton goes down there and gets a touchdown run. Hightower leaves the game with a knee injury, but they rallied to go 82 yards. And at this point, you thought that they had a little momentum, but that was not the case, as the Redskins wouldn't score until the game was well out of hand. At 30-13. That's what the Redskins would get their next score at 30-13. The previous drive was a 4-yard touchdown run by John Beck on 7 plays, 82 yards. Their next and last score would be on a 7-yard touchdown pass from Beck to Fred Davis, 10 plays, 80 yards, to make it 20-30 in the fourth quarter. That was the last Redskins drive. Redskins then tried an onside kick, which I wasn't crazy about, but at that point, the game was pretty much in hand, and the Redskins again were done scoring. Again, offensively, you know, the Redskins ran the ball effectively in the first half, but you know, when Tim Hardtower leaves the game, and that was their run game. I mean, Terrain and Roy Helu were not effective whatsoever, and when Hightower leads the game, that was it as far as the run game goes. Plus, the Redskins, they felt, you know, would fell behind 30-13, you know, 30-13. So they were really forced into pass mode. And, you know, Redskins cannot win games when their quarterbacks throw the ball, you know, 30 or more times. All right? That they're going to be hard-pressed to win football games because they don't have, you know, they just don't have enough weapons on the outside. I mean, Fred Davis, again, had a nice game, but Santana Moss is not the player, even before the injury. Santana Moss is just not the player he once was. After that, I mean, Jabbar Gaffney, Terrence Austin, Anthony Armstrong, Brandon Banks, I mean, th- those are not, you know, that's not exactly the posse as far as receivers goes. And the Redskins have a hard time getting big plays. They have these, you know, they have to go, you know, they have to go long. They have to get scored on these long drives to try to score, which is hard in the NFL. You know, hard in the NFL to go 10 plays, 80 yards, you know, 13 plays, 75 yards. That's very hard, difficult to do against NFL defenses. So right now the Redskins, again, are hurting as far as moving the ball with the passing attack. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we will have the turning point of the game and also Redskins stat leaders. This is the Washington Redskins postgame report. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 5 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Redskins Postgame Report. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. Turning point of the game, I felt came in the latter part of the first half, basically the end of the first half, when game is tied at 6, Redskins have the ball, and Jabari Gaffney, you know, gets stripped and fumbles the ball. This would lead to a Olinde Mare field goal, and the Redskins were down, you know, were down 9-6 going to the half. You say, well, what's the big deal only being down by 3? Well, from then on, the Redskins would get outscored 27-14, and it just seemed like that play just really set off Carolina's offense to me. After that, Carolina, from then on, the Redskins defense had been playing relatively well in the first half, had held them to 6 points up until that point. Then Carolina goes field goal, touchdown, 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 and, you know, it was, you know, game, set, match. So that, to me, that was a big play in this particular game. You could also look at the drive that Carolina had following the Redskins touchdown to cut it to 16-13. Thought that was a huge answer for Carolina. You know, Redskins had a little momentum, cut it to 3, but then Carolina answers right back to go up 23-13, and then they would, you know, eventually go up 30-13. But I thought the Jabari Gaffney fumble was the turning point in this particular game. And again, I just the Redskins defense really, you know, had played pretty good football in that first half. You know, holding them up to that point, holding them to 6 points. You know, it was kind of bend but don't break. There was no indication in the first half that you thought Carolina was going to score 33 points. I mean, this game had, to me, it had 20-17, a 17-13 tight feel to it in the first half, gauging that first half. And now, you know, the Redskins basically, from a defensive standpoint, again, they're going to go back to the drawing board. I mean, they have some serious issues defensively. I mean, defensively, last 2 weeks defensively have, you know, again, last week had no problem with the Eagle game, only gave up 20 points, but really shut the Eagles down in the second half. But their run defense right now is an issue. This is back-to-back weeks where Carolina, where a team goes for 170-plus yards in terms of rushing. When we return, we'll have the Redskins stat leaders, And we'll also go around the league as far as the NFL, as far as the NFL scoreboard. We'll be right back. Back to this latest edition of the Redskins Post Game Report. I'm El Cyril Quinn. As we discuss the Redskins 33-20 defeat at the hands of the Carolina Panthers. Carolina improves to 2-5 on the season. Redskins fall to 3-3. And you know, 3-3, and you know, at worst they'll still be in second place in the NFC East, or it could be in a tie for second place, depending on what Dallas does. I know Dallas was winning last time I checked, but Redskins have bigger issues than, you know, worrying about the NFC East right now, as they are hurting physically and mentally. Redskins statistical leaders, John Beck, 22-37, 279, touchdown, interception, did have a fumble. The interception looked like a miscommunication between he and rookie Lance Hankerson. Looked like Hankerson was running, you know, a go, you know, was running a go, and while Beck was expecting a comeback, so they clearly were not on the same page as Chris Gamble would pick up, would have the interception. That didn't matter. The game was well out of hand by that point. He did have the fumble. He did have the fumble on the Applewhite hit early on the Redskins' first possession. I thought Beck was okay. Played pretty good in the second half. Really, you know, picked up, you know, gained most of his yardage in the second half. You know, had some balls batted down. I thought he was all right. I thought he wasn't great. He wasn't terrible. Did have a couple of nice decent scrambles. You know, he's John Beck. I don't know what, you know, you're gonna have some fans complaining about, you know, you're gonna have some fans, you know, wanting Rex Grossman back. There's no real difference between the two. And this is why during the course of the summertime and even before the season started, I'm basically screaming, you know, what about the quarterback situation? I mean, are these the two guys you really want playing quarterback for you? You know, I mean, Beck is okay. I mean, he had an okay average game. It's not going to be, he's never going to be spectacular. Neither of them, we already know about Grossman, so. You know, I don't know what more you wanted out of John Beck, especially considering how limited his weapons the Redskins were, you know, in terms of the weapons that they have. I mean, you know, Santana Moss is your best wide receiver by far and away. You know, Tim Hightower gets hurt after having a good, you know, first half, gets hurt in the third quarter. I mean, you know, I don't know what else more would you want out of him. Tim Hightower, 17 carries, 88 yards. Again, left again in the third quarter with knee injury. Helu Torrain with not absolute zero factors. Fred Davis, 6 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown. Redskins as a whole had 353 yards of total offense, 5 for 12 on third downs, 0 for 2 on fourth downs, but did commit 3 turnovers. And all 3 of those turnovers, with the exception of the last one, 2 of those turnovers turned out to be costly turnovers. They allowed Carolina 175 yards of rushing on 37 carries. Redskins defense allowed Carolina to be on the field for over 35 minutes. But Carolina really controlled this game with their offensive line. I thought the Carolina offensive line played well. I thought their pass protection. I know Cam Newton was sacked 4 times, but for the most part, he did have time to throw the ball. Again, Newton on the day, 18 of 23, 256 yards. Also had 10 carries for 59 yards and a touchdown. Steve Smith has seven catches for 143 yards. So the Carolina's offense really moved the ball on the Redskins. Again, over 400 yards of total offense. Second straight week that the Washington Redskins defense has given up over 400 yards of total offense to an opponent. Again, second straight week where the Redskins defense has given up at least 175 yards or more of on the ground. So that defense is starting to leak. And again, Redskins defense has to be borderline perfect in order for them to have a legit chance at winning some of these games. When we return, we will go around the league, look at some late scores, look at the earlier scores, also some late scores as well. We'll talk about that and also look ahead towards next week. This is the Washington Redskins postgame report. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 5 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the Washington Redskins postgame report. Some earlier scores. Atlanta takes out Detroit 23-16. Atlanta holds off a late Detroit rally. Matt Ryan left the game but came back. Looked like one of his offensive line and stepped on his ankle, but he did come back. Big day out, Michael Turner. Detroit drops his second straight game. Atlanta goes to 4-3. Detroit falls to 5-2. Houston all over Tennessee, 41-7. Big day out of Arian Foster, over well over 200 yards of combined offense. Denver takes out Miami 18-15 in overtime. Denver was at one point was down 15-0. Was down 15-0. The Jets get a very good win over San Diego, 27-21. Jets at one point were down 21-10. Sean Green had a nice day running the football as the Jets go to 4-3 on the season. Excuse me, improve their record to 3-3 on the season. Chicago over Tampa Bay, 24-18. Tampa again. Chicago survived a late rally by Tampa Bay. Chicago at one point was up 21-5 in this game as that game was played in London. Right now, you have the Cowboys up 14-7 over St. Louis. You have Green Bay trailing Minnesota 14-10. You have Kansas City up on the Raiders 14-0. Kyle Bowler starts that game instead of Carson Palmer. Steelers are up on Arizona 14-7. Beanie Wells left that game with a knee injury. Darren McFadden left the Raider game with a left foot injury. So just, you know, keep that in mind for all the, you know, for all the Raider fans out there. Left that game in the first quarter as Minnesota right now is attempting a field goal to go up 17-10. So again, not a, you know, so far basically an uneventful day in the NFL. We talked this morning about how just how bad these games were. You know, you're talking about Arizona, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Green Bay being the 4 o'clock window games tonight. New Orleans, Indianapolis. You know, Baltimore playing. You know, Baltimore tomorrow night. I mean, these games are dreadful. Going to be dreadful this week. Not the greatest week. Certainly not the greatest weekend of NFL football. So those are your late scores. When we return, we'll talk about. We'll look ahead towards next week for the Redskins and what needs to get fixed. We'll talk about that on this latest and much more on this latest edition of the Redskins Post Game Report. After the 5 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Redskins Post Game Report, I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. As the Washington Redskins fall to the Carolina Panthers 33-20, big day out Cam Newton, big day out Steve Smith, and the Carolina Panther rushing attack. Redskins, you know, and we talk about this all the time, just about every team goes through it. Maybe Green Bay won't have to deal with it this year. But every team, you know, you have a point in that season where, you know, it's, you know, you have a crisis point, and just about every team goes through it. Redskins right now are at that crisis point of their season at 3-3. They have a brutal two-game stretch coming up here. And just to show you what, you know, just to show you how quickly things can change in the NFL. I've told you before the season that home to San Francisco would be considered a brutal two-game stretch. You probably would have laughed in my face or asked me what I was smoking. Well, both those teams have played extremely well. Both of them, you know, Buffalo's 4-2, San Francisco is 5-1. At Buffalo next week, who knows? You know, I mean, Lichtensteiger is done for the season. Trent Williams, you anticipate him being back. The good thing about that game is Buffalo doesn't have a great pass rush, but the Redskins better get their issues on defense fixed. And quickly, that pass defense, Fred Jackson has been one of the most, you know, this side of LeSean McCoy, Matt Forte, Aaron Foster, Fred Jackson has been one of the most productive NFL backs this year. And he, I mean, he's a guy that can get 200 yards combined, two touchdowns, three touchdowns easy in the game. They're going to have to find a way to slow him down. That's the key to Buffalo's offense. I mean, that's all there is to it. He is the absolute key to Buffalo's offense. He's, you know, the straw that stirs the drink, so to speak. Buffalo can move the ball. They have a ball-hawking defense. You can run on Buffalo. You can run on them, but they, I mean, they, the Redskins are going to have to put up some points. I would say minimum 24, 25 points against Buffalo, especially at Buffalo. At Buffalo, they can put up points in a heartbeat. Then you're home to San Francisco. You know, Redskins can easily be staring 3-5 in the face, easily. That's why I thought that this game was so important from a standpoint that, you know, I figured that they would split between Buffalo and Dallas, between Buffalo and San Francisco. But now Redskins are looking at a four-game losing streak after starting out the season 3-1. That would be a very tough game to win. I mean, not only, you know, with Fred Jackson, you know, Stevie Johnson, David Nelson, Buffalo has some weapons. I mean, they can score with anybody. They have some weapons, and Redskins had their work cut out for them. Again, they are banged up as can be with the recent rash of injuries. You know, London Fletcher goes out with a hamstring. Otagwe didn't play today. You have Hightower, Santana Moss. A couple weeks ago we're looking at 3-1 and first place in the division. Now you're looking at 3-3 and don't know which 22 players that you're going to field. You know, that's how quick things can change in the NFL. And the Redskins now are going to find some answers. I don't know where you're going to go for those answers. I mean, you know, again, Leonard Hankerson does not seem to be ready to play, to be an NFL receiver right now. He was there's a reason why he hasn't played, but you're going to need some production out of him. The running back situation, you hope Terrain can find his groove. Hasn't played well since the St. Louis Ram game. Roy Helu has been non-existent over the past 2 or 3 weeks. And you're going to need the Redskin defense to return to form. I mean, in terms of yardage, you know, this last week, I gave him a pass because as Aaron Rodgers is just ripping up Minnesota's defense right now, but only has 10 points to show for it. You gave the Redskins defense a pass because of how poorly the offense played and the fact that they shut down the Eagles in the second half. But, you know, last weekend they gave up over 400 yards of the offense and close to 200 yards rushing. This week it was all about how bad the Redskins defense was. 33 points, 400 yards of offense, couldn't stop the run, couldn't stop Cam Newton. This week they did not earn a pass. So, you know, the Redskins, again, this next two-game stretch is going to be, you know, if they're 4-4, it wouldn't be the worst thing. Nobody's running away with the NFC East. The Giants' schedule is about to get ridiculous. Philly, I'm still completely not sold on them. But if they, you know, they fall next week to 3-4, having a home game against San Francisco, you know, then there's a possibility that the wheels can absolutely fall off. You would anticipate next week that John Beck will start. I know that Shanahan was questioned and kind of like was asked that question and didn't take too kindly to it. You know, he responded, "Are you kidding me?" to the reporter. But you know, you can't say that. I mean, there can't be, "Are you kidding me?" because the bottom line is, I mean, the Redskins have had, you know, when you switch quarterbacks like that, there's certainly no guarantee that you wouldn't bring back Golson. I mean, you shouldn't bring back Golson, but, you know, it wasn't a bad question for the reporter to ask. Again, Shanahan didn't take kindly to it, but I myself had no problem with the question. I mean, who knows at this point with the way the Redskins' offense has been playing. And, you know, I think Beck was okay. You know, again, Beck was, you know, threw for 277 yards, was 22 of 37 for 279, 22 of 37, 279, a touchdown, interception, also had a fumble. But, you know, that was certainly a legit question for the reporter to ask, whether or not he was going to start next week against the Buffalo Bills. And again, the Redskins offense should be able to throw the ball against. So I don't know what's the status for Santana Moss, but they should find some success in terms of throwing the ball on Buffalo. Buffalo's defense overall is not very good. Now, they do have some ball hawkers in the secondary. You know, they'll pick you off. I mean, George Wilson has been great this year. They've had a ton of interceptions, but if they don't turn you over, then they're not going to, then the Redskins should be able to move the ball against that Buffalo defense. The question is the Redskins offense defense matching up against that Buffalo offense, which can at times be explosive. We'll be right back to wrap up this latest edition of the Redskins Report. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Redskins Postgame Report, 43 minutes after the 5 o'clock hour, as we wrap up the program. NFL show tomorrow at 7 p.m. At 7 p.m., we'll wrap up week 7 tomorrow night. I think you have Baltimore and Jacksonville, I believe, tomorrow night. Just an awful week as far as the matchup goes. A good win for the Jets over the Chargers. Thought the Chargers had them there at 21-10, but the Jets come back and win that. Washington Redskins fall 33-20, 3-3 on the season. If I told you they were going to be 3-3 on the season before the season, if you told me they were going to be 3-3 before the season started, looking at their schedule, I'd probably been like, okay. And I probably would have took it. And you probably had. This is what the Redskins are. I mean, right now they are a 500 team. And I don't want to hear they should be this, should be that. They're a 500 team. So that's what they are. That's going to wrap it up. I will see you tomorrow night with the NFL show. So long.